track 13. We are now at milepost 82. Although the Forest Service works hard to fight all human-caused fires and potentially damaging natural lightning-caused fires, the agency has come to understand the benefits of natural fire in certain parts of the forest. In about 23% of the forest, lightning-ignited fires may not be fully suppressed after a detailed analysis to examine social, economic, or resource values at risk. Many Americans who grew up with Smokey Bear telling stories about damaging forest fires may wonder why some fires are managed this way. But fire and forest ecologists cite examples where regular, natural fires prevent dangerous forest fuel buildup and are vital to keeping our forests healthy. These mountains you are traveling through have evolved with fire and are indeed a fire-adapted ecosystem. Without periodic fire, uncharacteristic, intense, and large-scale fires often result. For example, in the Loman Burn, over 60 small fires were suppressed over a 40-year period, leading to a buildup of fuel and conditions that, once ignited, turned it into a catastrophic event. As we mentioned earlier, a fire mosaic benefits wildlife by opening up areas for new plant life. In fact, the state's large elk population grew in part because of fires in the northern part of Idaho in the early 1900s. Smokey's message about preventing fires still holds true, though, because human-caused fires often start in populated areas or in areas with high recreation value. Putting your campfire out completely before leaving camp will help prevent wildfires. Watch carefully along this stretch of highway as we're passing through some of the richest wildlife habitat in the forest. Most obvious are herds of deer and elk, which are found in the shelter of the River Canyon, especially in winter. Biologists estimate that nearly 1,000 Rocky Mountain elk and three times as many mule deer winter in this area. There have been several fires recently managed in this area to enhance diverse habitat and reduce fuels. You may see or smell some smoke during the summer from this type of fire. As you travel, with a little luck, you might spot a bald eagle perched high on a ponderosa pine along the highway. The large white-headed eagle, our national emblem, arrives in this area during the winter. It's hard to miss the bald eagle when it flies. Its wingspan can reach 8 feet. The eagle is just one of 200 types of birds in the forest. There are also ruffed grouse and blue grouse located in the area. There are mountain quail and three subspecies of turkey, the Merriam's, Rio Grande, and Eastern turkey. Do not be surprised if you see a turkey in the woods. They're there and appear sometimes where you least expect them. One of the few forest animals that does not blend into these surroundings is the striped skunk. Its bold stripes discourage most predators from bothering it. The first clue we usually have to its company is the smell. The skunk's glands contain about a tablespoon of spray, enough for 5 or 6 strong blasts. One is usually enough to make its presence known. It can spray up to 15 feet, although the smell often carries for more than a mile. Wolves, originally a native to Idaho, were reintroduced in January 1995. The first 4 wolves were introduced into the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness along the Salmon River. Today, the wolf packs are located in several areas of the Boise National Forest. Wolves range in color from grizzled gray or black to all white. On average, wolves weigh 55 to 115 pounds and are 26 to 32 inches at the shoulder. They live 8 to 12 years. The abundance of wildlife attracts hunters to the forest every autumn. Hunting season is open for a variety of wildlife species. Hunters most often harvest deer and elk from the forest in the fall. Fish and game officials manage the hunting season to maintain populations. Turn the recording off now, but turn it on again at milepost marker 93, when we'll be near our first glimpse of the spectacular Sawtooth Range. That's milepost marker 93 and track 14.